I want you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter number 6, if you would please. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Once you find Galatians chapter 6, find verse number 1. And then if you'll stand with me, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. I'll read the following, first seven verses, and then I'll talk to you about these verses. Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Will every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another? For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I want to use those verses to help us tonight. And so let's pray and ask God to get in on this before we get started. Father, bless us tonight. I pray, God, this issue that is being brought out here about the burdens that one might bear, help us, Lord, to learn from it. Help us, God, to see the truth of the Scripture this evening, and may we be better because of it. Holy Spirit of God, control what's said and control what's heard. I pray that no one would interrupt someone else this evening so that we might all get the truth of the Scripture. Please help folks to stay alert. And God, because we've been at church tonight, I hope we'll help someone. Please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2 is a verse that I sign in Bible. Sometimes someone will say to me, "Pastor, would you sign my Bible?" And when I do, I write Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, where it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That is my mom's life's verse. As a result of that, I adopted it as my life's verse, the bearing of burdens. And it's a very big deal to me, to my mom, and it's an important verse. I want to say, in the last two or three weeks, boy, our folks have faced a lot of burdens here in our church. And might I say, in the service of God, you can expect there are going to be some burdens that come our way. And for a variety of reasons, God uses our burdens to build us. And at the same time, the devil, he's always out to trip us up and be hard on us. In a revival setting, you can expect more burdens. And you say, why? Well, I believe that, again, a church that is going forward, that's getting people saved, that is experiencing the blessing of God, there's just going to be burdens. They're just a part of it. I can't explain it all, but I can promise you that is truly the case. As we know, and though I will not mention names, I will think through a few of the burdens that we have experienced within our church in the last few weeks. A wife diagnosed with a second time with cancer. A husband found unconscious and rushed to the hospital via ambulance. A member, and we find a member's brother suddenly needing a quadruple bypass surgery. A member falls and breaks a femur, and surgery and complications thereafter, and a long stay in the hospital. A member's mom, a daughter, if you will, finds that she has cancer. A member, a member's mom that needed to be placed in an assisted living facility just recently. A member's child tends to do some things that hurt mom and dad's heart. Heavy relationship challenges. And I could go on. You know, that's a lot for a group of people to be hit with in a 14-day period. A lot of burdens. Let me remind everybody of something. Nobody has the right to judge the reason why someone may face a burden. I've watched people through the years, and every once in a while there's somebody that sets back in judgment of somebody that's going through a tough time. Just so you all know, only God knows why someone might face what they face. Don't wrongly decide that a burden is punishment for sin. You say, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because Jesus suffered like no man ever suffered, and Jesus never sinned. Job, we find out that in Job's story, there was a lot of suffering that went on, and Job suffered to teach someone else about burden bearing and what they might face. Now, tonight's sermon leans a little toward maybe what we might call some self-inflicted burdens that would come upon someone. As we were reading in Galatians chapter 6, Paul is directed by God to write those words. And while Paul is being used of God to write Galatians chapter 6, Paul is kind of placing a microscope on the subject of burdens. Paul advises the Galatian people to think about the burdens of other people and to respond properly to the burdens of other people. By bearing the burdens of others, he said, so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're not what we would call under the law. You say, well, what are we under? Well, we're under love. We didn't do away with the law. God still has laws. You're not saved by the law. You never were saved by the law. But you and I, we function under love. You say, well, what is the law of Christ spoken of here in Galatians 6:2? I think it's Matthew 22, verse 36. Listen to this. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Believe it or not, God is talking about loving God and loving your neighbor, and the law of Christ is to love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Folks, burden bearing is an act of love. Now, I want you to understand, love is a verb. It's a word of action. We use love as a noun, but love is, its intent is to move us to action. And so, when you and I bear the burdens of others, we are fulfilling the law. When we bear the burdens of others, we are expressing love, which means this: the absence of burden bearing is the absence of love. Folks, we all have to face some of our own burdens. I'm not talking about you facing your own burden and bearing your own burden. I'm saying to you and I as Christians, one of the things we're supposed to do is to help bear the burden of our fellow Christian. We're to be helping to bear the burden of our fellow church member. I mean, when's the last time you bore the burden of somebody else at the church? You can go around saying, I just love everybody, I just love everybody, I just love everybody. Well, just going around saying you just love everybody doesn't mean you love everybody. You ever heard that verse from Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, put your money where your mouth is? You know, people just walk around, I just love God, I just love God, I just love God. And you never come to church, and you never do anything for God, and you never go soul winning, and you never tithe. You don't love God. You're a phony. Your talk is cheap. Anybody can talk about God. But boy, it's not talk that makes you a good Christian. It's walk. It's not lip. It's life. Living it is what makes you a good Christian. The absence of burden bearing equals the absence of the right kind of love. We also see here in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You say, well, Pastor, is this a contradiction? Not in the slightest. There are no contradictions in the Bible. Every man should plan to bear his own burden. But God commands others then to try to help that man to bear the burden. The man with a burden may become presumptuous and expect or even demand others to bear his burden, and that's stingy and self-centered. That's not, God says every person, they need to be willing to bear their own burden. But then God says that you and I then are to, as good Christians, help that person to bear their burdens. I am to demand help from nobody. Receiving help with my burden is a gift from my fellow man. Receiving help with my burden is a gift from my God. But I have no right to demand it from anybody. And God gives us some instructions about burden bearing. There's a right and a wrong way to handle our burdens, and all that we do should be done to the glory of God. Folks, I think one of the things that would be a great decision for all of us to make in life is that we would become burden bearers. We want to help other people with their burdens. I think you could step up in your Christian life a level if you would decide you don't come to church just to get. A lot of people need to come to church to get. And sure, you're going to get when you get here. You'll receive. But I think we ought to be involved at church, and we ought to come to church because we came to give. We came to be a part, not just to receive. Now, the sermon tonight leans a little toward what I would call some self-inflicted burdens that, man, we bring on ourselves. But I want you to listen very carefully, and I want you to remember this. As I show you what Galatians chapter 6 is talking about when it comes to burden bearing, I want you to know, though it seems like he keeps talking about how we create some of our own burdens and then we're to help people that even create some of their own burdens. Can I tell you that if God would tell me to help you if you have self-inflicted burdens, so much the more should we not help people that their burdens are not self-inflicted. But stay with me. I want to talk to you about wrong attitudes about the burdens of others, first of all. Galatians 6:2 said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Notice that does not say, "Let others bear your burdens." It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." This thing of I want someone to bear my burden, that's the exact opposite of what God's teaching us. God says, get your eyes on other people. Do you insist that someone carry your load? Do you insist that someone carry your burden? Now, I think as Christians, we ought to want to help one another, and we ought to want to carry one another's burdens. But we're not to insist upon it from one another. You say, well, I'm offended. Somebody didn't carry my burden. You've got your eyes on yourself too much. You have your eyes on yourself way, way too much. We have an attitude of entitlement. You say, well, I want what I deserve. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if we all got what we deserve, we'd die and go to hell and burn forever. God's already been very, very good to us. But it says, bear ye one another's burdens. Now, let me give you some advice about burdens. For instance, we're not to despise someone for having a heavy burden. You know, do you realize that we can become disgusted with people about their burdens? We can become disgusted. You say, why? It's inconvenient. You say, their burden has inconvenienced me. For me to get involved in their burden is an inconvenience to me. God said, I don't think God wants you to take that attitude. We can get disgusted with people about their decisions. Can I tell you something? It might be best if we leave all the attitude stuff to God and just do what he said. He said, what did he tell us to do? Bear their burden. Help them. Do you get angry with people about their burdens? I have to tell you something. I have to be careful with this one myself. You say, why? Well, as a pastor, I can stand up here and I can say, whatever you do, don't go do this, because it'll turn your life into a mess. And inevitably, within 7 days, somebody went and did it. And I have a carnal, fleshly nature just like you. And you say, well, what could happen? I could say, well, rot, sucker. I told you 3 days ago that was the stupidest thing you could do. And while you slept during the service and played with your phone during the service and ignored the pastor because he's stupid and old-fashioned, you went ahead and did it. But you know what I need to do? I need to love. your ignorant soul. I need to go ahead and help you to bear your burden. We can, hey, look, folks, isn't it true? Even with our spouses, with our own kids, there's a little part of us that says, you know how stupid that is. You know, you should have never. And if we're not careful, we can develop a holier-than-thou attitude. We want to get ourselves off the hook, and we don't want to bear and help bear a burden. So I don't think we're to despise people for their burdens. Then this, I don't think we're to go through life oblivious or ignoring the burdens of others. I wonder sometimes if people do not hide from the burdens of others. Let's not hide from our responsibility to help people. You say, who in the world would hide from the responsibility of helping people? Well, self-centered people. People that say, well, I don't want the stress of getting involved. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus went through an awful lot of stress to get involved in your situation. And if he would help to bear our burdens, don't you think we ought to help to bear somebody else's? Don't go through life with your eyes closed. I thank God. I'll use a man's first name. One of the godliest men I've ever met. His name was Damien. He was a Spanish man. Damien would pray every week. And I would hear him pray when I got to pray with him at a prayer meeting that I went to for weeks. Damien would pray this prayer. He would say, God, help me to meet today the people that Jesus would help if Jesus were walking the earth today. Do you happen to know, as you go through the scripture, who Jesus met every day? Burdened people, and got involved and helped. You see, first of all, we are not to despise people that have burdens because of the inconvenience that it brings upon us or them. And then secondly, we're not to live oblivious and ignore burdens. Boy, when you hear that somebody has a burden in your heart, you ought to say, I want to do something. I want to, in some way, I'd like to be involved. In some way, I'd like to help. In some way, I'd like to encourage them. Why? The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. And it will help you. There are some of you, you say, but wait a minute, I am one that has a burden. Let me give you some of the best advice you've ever heard. If you have a burden, you need to reach out and help somebody else that has a burden because it'll take your mind off of your burden. Keep your mind off of your burden. Did you know nowhere in the scripture does it say that somebody with a burden is released from the responsibility of finding somebody with a burden and helping them? Nowhere. Nowhere at all does it say having a burden cancels the responsibility of helping someone with a burden. And so, I shouldn't despise people that have burdens. And I should be careful that I don't go through life oblivious or ignoring people with burdens. Then, we're not to be seeking out the self-inflicted burdens of others so that we can mishandle the information. You say, what are you talking about? Well, people, I don't know about all of you, but I've gotten in trouble in life. Most of the time is my fault. I brought plenty of burdens on me. You've probably brought plenty of burdens on you. And if I were you, I think I would like to advise both you and me that we not be looking at other people's burdens and virtually seeking how they possibly brought this upon themselves. You say, well, I've seen somebody and they can't pay their bills on time, but I've seen them eating at McDonald's. Now, if you're not careful, attitude like that will eat you up. It'll eat you up. You say, what are you doing? You're almost searching for a reason not to care. You know what you ought to be doing? Searching for a reason to care. A reason to care. Someone got fired from their job and you say, well, you know, they repeatedly arrived at work late, so they got fired. I'm never happy that anybody lost their job, and if somebody can't pay their bills and they ate at McDonald's too much, I'm sorry about that, but I still don't want them to starve to death. And we have to be careful, again, that we do not become self-righteous about people's burdens, even when they're self-inflicted. And so I don't want to despise somebody that has a burden. I don't want to ignore somebody that has a burden. I don't want to become self-righteous about their self-inflicted burden. And may I say this also, we're not to gossip about people's burdens. Sometimes burdens are created by sin. I'm not sure you can tell me when mine are, and I can't tell you necessarily when yours are, but you're not to be going around gossiping about burdens that come upon people that are created because they've fallen short. They sinned. Somehow we think it's okay to gossip about people if they're guilty. Say it's okay to talk bad about them if they're guilty. You better thank God that He does not spread true gossip about you. He knows the truth about you. God has never gone and told somebody about your true sin. God doesn't spread that. Now, people will, but God doesn't. So, may I say, well, let's say somebody is, there's a self-inflicted burden, and they did something. They fell into sin, and as a result of that sin, now they carry a burden. You and I should not be going around and talking about that. That's not what burden bearers do. A real burden bearer, they care even though it's self-inflicted. But let me go on. Did you know that we are not to hope that others will have burdens? We shouldn't hope that they have burden. Be careful ever hoping that someone fails. I just hope she just falls flat on her face. I hope he just falls flat on his face. I don't know. I got a devil against me that's saying the same thing. Who you been running with? Shouldn't I want success for people? Well, they crossed me. Well, you're not the issue. Well, they did me wrong. That's your problem. You're so self-centered. It's all about you. It's how you think and how it affects you. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want people to succeed in their Christian life. Oh, be careful now. Never should you and I hope that someone would have a burden or hope that someone fails. Don't hope that for someone to have a heartache. Listen, do you know that God teaches us that even your enemies, you ought to wish that they would have a good day? You say, well, they're my enemy, and I hope they have a heartache. That is not a Christian attitude. Don't hope that their life is hard. Don't hope that they go to jail. Don't hope that they end up in divorce. Don't hope that they end up overdosing. Don't hope that the judgment of God comes down on them. You had better leave all that to God. You're hoping for the wrong things. You know what? Fallen sinners ought to be rooting for fallen sinners. That's how we're supposed to behave. You say, well, that's just not natural. I know, it's supernatural. It's something you don't understand. That's not easy, but it's doable because God told us to behave that way. And what are we talking about? Galatians 6:2 said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law? It's to love God and love your neighbor. I'm not to despise people because of their burdens. I'm not to ignore people's burdens and hide from the responsibility of getting involved. I am not to seek out a reason not to care because it's self-inflicted. I'm not to go around talking about the sin or the fallout that has brought this burden on. I'm not to hope that they'll have a burden. I'm not to hope that they will fail. We as Christians can take on some very wrong attitudes about the burdens of others. Now listen, be very careful that you keep your heart tender toward people with burdens. Some burdens last a long time. Some burdens can become, they can wear you out. Keep caring. Keep doing the right thing. Do not become overly analytical about somebody else's burden. You will never know all the reasons why behind it. And sometimes when it inconveniences you and it's hard on you and it costs you something and it didn't work out in your plan, we can just suddenly begin to develop attitudes and become judgmental about that. And so, there's some wrong attitudes that we can take about the burdens of others and burden bearing. Now, let me tell you maybe some correct attitudes, if I could, about the burdens that come upon other people, and especially self-inflicted burdens. We're to help bear the burden that comes upon others as a result of their sin. Listen to Galatians 6:1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Notice, overtaken in a fault. Now, I believe that the wording here, someone was running for Jesus, and then they are overtaken. In other words, that burden had to run to catch them because they were busy for God. They were moving. They were not stationary. They were not standing still. They were overtaken. There was movement. There was action. And then it says that they were overtaken in a fault. You know, what's that fault? That's probably God's polite way of saying they did something that was dumb. It was a sin. They shouldn't have done it. They stumble or they backslide. Now, always remember this. The concept is taught all the way through the New Testament. We are to hate sin and love the sinner. And the Bible says if someone that was moving along for God is overtaken by a sin, that we are to help to try to restore them to usefulness. So, what is that? Someone has a self-created burden. Does that mean that you approve of that sin that created the burden? Oh, no. No. Does that mean that we're happy about the sin that created the burden? Oh, no. But what does it say? We're going to try to love them and hate the sin. I will stand in this pulpit and I will throw an ever-loving fit about certain sins. I'm going to throw a fit about liquor. I'm going to throw a fit about drugs and the misuse of them. I'm going to throw a fit about immorality. I'm going to throw a fit about filthy rock music. I'm going to throw a fit about those things. But make sure you understand something. I hate sin, but I love people. I'm mad at the devil, but I'm not mad at people. The issue with me is that sin and that unrighteousness and the filth of life. But I want to help people. We are to help bear the burden that comes upon people when they are overtaken in a fault. What's a good attitude about burdens? Next, we're to help bear the burden that comes upon others as a result of them being cocky, prideful, having too high of opinion of themselves. Galatians 6:3 says, remember, Galatians chapter 6 is this burden-bearing chapter. It says this, verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Do you understand that the text and what's happening in this text is talking about burdens? It's talking about burdens. Notice there's conceit. Notice there's pride here. "For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing." You say, well, who's it referring to here about being nothing? All of us. Everybody's included there. So somebody thinks they're something when they're nothing. What happens? Well, that pride can cause them some burdens in life. They think, maybe they think they're more important to the church than what is reality. That can get them in trouble. That can get him in trouble. Do you know that Peter, in his pride, he told Jesus, he said, "Listen, Jesus, listen to me, Jesus. The others may deny you, but not me, buddy. I'm in." You're talking to old Pete right here. I'm going down in history. I'm the man. Peter said, "Don't you worry. I will not deny you." Many hours later, he's denying Christ. He's cussing, throwing a fit, and denying he even knows him. I'm going to guess Peter blew it. Peter said, "I've got it together. I'm a better Christian than all the rest of these, and I'm better than my husband, and I'm better than my wife, and I'm better than my kids, and I'm better than that worthless person down there at the church. I'm better than them." So as a result of it, you fall flat on your face. You know, I thank God somebody must have had some patience with Peter after Peter fell. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's not a long time before Peter's preaching a revival out of the back of a pickup truck on a day called Pentecost and had 3,000 people saved. I'm going to guess Peter thought more highly of himself than what he ought, but somebody said, "We'll help restore him." I'm glad they did. I really like that story about Pentecost. You know, folks, let me warn you. There are some of you, you place yourself in situations of temptation because you think you're strong enough. That's a dangerous thing to do. And you say, well, I'm strong enough to do this, and I'm strong enough to do that. If I were you, I'd run with all your might away from sin and temptation, and I would not be playing around. Don't play tag with the devil. He's been playing tag for a long time. But if you do, we want to help restore you. You bring some burdens on you because you're arrogant, because you're full of pride. God says we ought to help bear that burden. Not only that. So, we're to bear the burden that come upon people as a result of their fault or their sin. We're to bear the burden of people that come upon them because of their arrogance or their pride. We're to help bear the burden of those who is helping to bear his own burden, by the way. If you'll listen to Galatians 6:4, the burden-bearing chapter, it says, But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Now, notice it talks about proving his own work. In other words, he's to work to carry his burden. Now, I got to tell you something, folks. There's something that God really wants us to do. God said every person ought to be bearing their burden. Have you ever heard the old saying, God helps those who help themselves? I just recommend something to all of us. If you have a burden, do everything you can to bear your own burden. You say, I've got a financial catastrophe and a mess, and I'll just never get out of this. Well, get up tomorrow morning and go to work anyway, and stop wasting your money, and do everything you can to dig yourself out. Well, I'm just going to wait and pray. I'm not going to go to work. I'll stay home and pray. I think God would rather that you went to work and tried to bail yourself out and pray before work and at lunch and after work and through the night. Give up your TV time. Not your work time, because your work time will solve the issue that you have. And God said, look, let a man work at bearing his burden. Then you say, well, what would God have you and I do? God wants you and I to bear our own burden, and then we will help those. But God is saying that make sure that you're trying to bear your own burden. Don't expect everybody else to do it for you. Now, let me go on. We're to help them bear their burdens that come as a result of the reaping process. Remember, Galatians chapter 6, one of the most popular verses in Galatians chapter 6 is Galatians 6:7, where it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I think God is telling us that people will make a mess for themselves, and then they will reap as a result of the mess that they make. It's called reaping to the flesh. Now, I don't think God tells you and I not to care when someone's reaping. Sometimes we look at someone and you say, I think they're reaping because they sowed. So somehow we make the judgment call and say, you know what? Let them rot. Let them burn. Let them suffer. I think God is saying to us they are going to reap what they have sown, but you can still help someone through the reaping process. You say, well, I want them to learn their whole lesson. You know, God's the teacher here, not you. God's in charge, not you. You can't just take over and say, God, get out of the road. I'll handle it from here. Now, that's not how it works. Hypocrites say with unconcerned attitude, she's just reaping what she sowed. Let her reap. According to Galatians chapter 6, when people are reaping, you're still supposed to love them and you're still supposed to care about them. I think we're to love people during the reaping process. Listen, I have watched people. You know, you take a young person. Take a young person that's been taught and trained and told you to be moral and be careful and watch yourself and keep yourself clean and virgin. Listen, I believe all that. I preach it and I will preach it. And young people, you just keep yourself clean, and you shouldn't be having a physical relationship with somebody that you're not married to. But I will tell you something. If you ever cross that line and you do wrong and you end up having a girl pregnant out of wedlock or you end up pregnant out of wedlock, somebody is going to love you and somebody's going to wish the best for you. I don't want you to do that. Don't cross that line. But if you do, I'm going to continue to hate the sin of immorality. But I will love that young man. I will love that young lady. I will not throw them to the lions. You say, why? God never told us to stop loving people because they are reaping what they have sown. They're still to be loved. You say, well, they borrowed money beyond their means. Oh, I may not give them money to go waste, but I will make sure they've got some food on their table. You say, well, let them suffer. Folks, you better hope God never treats you the way you treat others. You better hope that never happens. Let me go on. Just a couple more points and we'll be done. I think we should help bear the burden of people. And I think we ought to do it with a humble attitude. A humble attitude. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of weakness. By the way, it goes on to say, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So God's saying, you might want to humbly help someone bear their burden. Because if you don't humbly help them bear their burden, you may be the one with the burden next. You say, what would be meant by that spirit of meekness? What would it mean when you talk about humbly helping them bear their burden? In other words, you're helping someone that is bearing a burden and maybe a self-inflicted burden, but you're not arrogant while you do it. You're not saying, you're trash and I'm not, and I'm going to help you through this trash. God said, you're to do this with a spirit of meekness. And you say, well, why should I? Because it could be you. You say, well, it ain't, and it ain't. That's a good word. It ain't, and I'm not going to do it. You're probably next. Because pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And when you and I take on that kind of an attitude, when someone's fallen, so you say, okay, pastor, you know, I'll obey what the scripture says, and I'll go to this dirt ball and help them. And, they're not as righteous and holy as me. God said, you're next. You're next. God will teach you a lesson the hard way. Let me say something else. We should be willing to help bear the burden. You say, of who? Well, I think the Bible teaching us bear the burden of, let's see what it says, Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. It speaks of the people of the household of faith. It's talking about in the church. Unto all men. That word men there is not just masculine. It is mankind. So who are we to treat this way? Who are we to help with their burden? God is saying everybody. Don't be prejudiced in your burden bearing. Don't only help bear the burden of your best friend. You know, sometimes people help bear a burden because they're expecting to get something in exchange. You know, the purest form of helping someone is when you're helping someone not expecting anything in return. If you go help someone with their burden, but you expect something in exchange for it, you're giving up a great reward, and your intent there's something in your intent that's stingy. Let's help people, whether we get anything out of it or not. But it says, unto all men, don't bear the burden of just your best friend. Do you practice selective burden bearing? Is there someone for whom you would not bear burden? Is there somebody in the church right now? And look right this way. Listen, children. Is there somebody in your church right now, and you look at them and they have a burden, and you would actually say, maybe not with your mouth, but maybe with your mouth, maybe in your heart, you would say, I wouldn't help them. I wouldn't walk across the street to help them. You've already made a judgment on them. You don't like something they did to you or something, the way they acted. You don't like their personality. So you wouldn't help them with their burden. God said, of all men, even sometimes the one you don't like. Did you know the color of someone's skin ought to have nothing to do with whether you would bear their burden or not? Did you know the financial status of someone does not mean, we're not to decide, well, they're poor, they're rich, and I'm not going to help them with their burden. Did you know rich people have burdens and heartaches, and they need somebody to care and love them and help bear that emotional or that physical burden just like poor people? But you know, because we're like kindergartners to God, their plight has to be so low below us, and it's got to be that we are just feeling so emotionally sorry for them that we see a reason to help bear the burden. I don't think that's what God is telling us to do. I think He's saying if somebody's got a burden, a good Christian's going to care. Red and yellow, black and white, their burden is precious in your sight. Rich or poor, middle class, did you know that none of those things are stated in the Bible? Souls don't have a social status, if you will. Education has nothing to do with whether we bear a burden or not. You say, well, they're so well educated. They have all these degrees. They shouldn't be having a burden. God said that's not how He sees it. He cares about them, whether educated or uneducated. The church is to help people with burdens. You take a church that's growing. We started over on Trent Road, and we had a core of people that we started with. Now, let me tell you something. We need to be careful that when new people come to our church, that those in our core of people, that starting core don't say, well, I'll help the people that have been here for 15 or 20 years, but I'm not going to help that new person. I'm sorry, that's not how the Church of God works. Nor does somebody that's newer in the church say, well, I'm not going to reach back to those people who've been in the church for 20 years and help them. God said it's unto all people. There should never be a clique in a church. There should never be there's the new crowd, there's the old crowd, there's the white crowd, there's the black crowd, there's the blue crowd, there's the green crowd, there's the poor crowd, there's the rich crowd, there's the intelligent crowd, there's the not so intelligent crowd. No, there's God's crowd. And God's crowd is to be cared by God's people, and they're to be served by God's people. And you and I shouldn't be setting in judgment about those things. When somebody's hurting, you're to care. You're to care. And you're to care humbly, because it could be you. Self-inflicted burden, or a burden that just comes in life, we're just to care. Let me say something and I'll be done. It is a good investment for you and I to bear the burdens of those who are burden bearers. You know, bearing the burden of a burden bearer will reap great dividends. Help the helper. You know, I'll help anybody bear a burden, but I'll tell you, it's a special delight to help bear the burden of a bus captain. You say, why? Think of all the burdens they bear. Every week of my life, without fail, I get a call from a pastor somewhere in the country that says, Brother Owens, I need some help. I got to tell you, I'm thrilled to help bear the burden of the burden bearer. Bear the burden of those that bear burdens. I can remember when my pastor, Brother Hiles, was alive. I just watched for burdens that came his way. And I thought, what an honor if I could bear the burden of the burden bearer. I was in his office one day and he told me about something. It was a pressure on him. And he said, you know, Brother Owens, I just wish before I passed away that I could attend to this need in the church. He said, it's heavy on my heart. I got to tell you, that day I set a goal. Before he passes away, I will do everything I can to alleviate that burden so that burden is not on his heart. And I'll never forget the day. It was in an evening service that I watched that burden vanish off of his plate. And he passed away without that burden loading him down. I want to help bear the burden of the burden bearer. Oh, you know what? You know who the great burden bearer is? Jesus. And Jesus comes to you and I and says, I love people. I love them when they're right. I love them when they're wrong. And it's a burden of Jesus is to bear the burden of people. You know what I can do? I can help bear the burden of the great burden bearer by helping his burden people. And that's what burden bearing is all about. Whether it's a self-inflicted burden or not. You know, there are people that get sick, that go through trials and hardships. And the truth is, I don't really think it's because of some sin that they committed. It's because that's what life holds for them right now. And if God would tell us to be so patient and loving and interested in self-inflicted burdens and helping people, don't you think so much the more when somebody faces a burden and it wasn't self-inflicted that He would want us to love those people and help those people as well? My life's verse, Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What law is that? The first thing is to love your God. The second thing is to love God's people. And we ought to be fulfilling the law of Christ by loving the way we're supposed to love when people bear burdens. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. May I ask the question tonight, is your life basically all about other people bearing burden for you? Well, listen, you ought to be interested in bearing the burden of another. There are some of you, you say, I have a heavy burden. I face a heavy burden. I'm sorry. I don't want you to face that burden, and I want people to help you with that burden. But when was the last time you helped bear the burden of somebody else in your church? Remember, you facing a burden does not relinquish the responsibility of you helping someone else with their burden. Young people, you ought to be burden bearer. You ought to want to help bear the burden of mom and of dad. We ought to, in our church, serve one another. And when people have burdens, you pray for them. You care about them. You help them. You offer yourself to be of an assistance to them. Bear the burdens of God's people. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about the appropriate way to handle burdens, self-inflicted or not. I want to live scripturally in regard to the burdens of life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you maybe need a moment of prayer about a burden, maybe you need to come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. When was the last time you prayed for somebody else's burden, took an interest in somebody else's burden, wanted to meet the need of somebody else's burden? If you've been saved and you've been baptized and you want to join our church, we welcome you. You may come. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For every man shall bear his own burden, but yet God wants you and God wants me to help people with their burdens. If you'll read Galatians chapter 6, you're going to find what was taught tonight falls just in line. Self-inflicted burdens, yes. Non-self-inflicted burdens, absolutely. I made a statement that if you would help someone else to bear their burden, it might lighten your own. Folks, if all you do is stare at your burden, if all you do is talk about your burden, if all you do is pray about your burden, if all you do is think about your burden, I'm going to tell you, that is going to become so overwhelming to you. It'll eat you up. Say, what should I do? Sure, care about yours, pray about yours, but find somebody else that has a burden and help them and pray for them and try to assist them. That burden bearing will lighten your own burden.